All right. We're being recorded. Okay, welcome everyone. November 3rd, 2021. Regular meeting of BOLT, the Library Trustees. So I'm going to read the public advisory, which begins all our meetings, and we'll hopefully... Oh, Amy, is Amy on? Good, Amy's on, it looks like. We got everybody here. This meeting will be conducted exclusively through video conference and teleconference. Pursuant to Government Code Section 54953E, and the state declared emergency, this meeting of the city, of the Library Board of Trustees will be conducted exclusively through teleconference and Zoom video conference. The COVID-19 state of emergency continues to directly impact the ability of the members to meet safely in person and presents imminent risks to the health of attendees. Therefore, no physical meeting location will be available. All right, if you want to submit an email comment during the meeting, email BOLT, B-O-L-T, at cityofberkeley.info. Public comment item, whatever item you want to comment on. Please observe a 150-word limit. Please be mindful that the teleconference will be recorded as any Board of Library Trustees meeting is recorded, and all other rules of procedure and decorum will apply for Board of Library Trustees meetings conducted by teleconference or video conference. And this meeting will be conducted as well in accordance with the Brown Act, Government Code Section 54953. Any member of the public may attend this meeting. The Board of Library Trustees may take action related to any subject listed on this agenda. So the first order of business is a roll call, Eve, for attendance.
Okay, Trustee Solosky.
Present.
Trustee Roth.
Present.
Trustee Davenport.
Present.
Trustee Green.
Here.
And Trustee Hahn.
Present.
Thank you.
Thank you all. Public comment on non-agenda matters. Speakers are allowed 3 minutes. If you want to speak on anything that is not on tonight's agenda, I'm going to check hands. Right now, I don't see any. I'll wait 5 seconds. And again, unless I'm missing something, I don't see anything. So we can move on. Comments from the library unions. Let's see. Do we have any union comments? Union reps here tonight. I'll wait a few seconds. But again, I don't see any hands. Okay. Comments. Next order of business is comments from the Board of Library Trustees. Excuse me. So I'm just going to go down the list of the people that I see in front of me. Sophie, you're first on my list.
Greetings to all.
No comments?
That was it.
That was it. Thank you. Thank you. Diane?
I don't have any comments other than to say I attended the all staff meeting last Friday, and as usual, it was a dynamic one full of information. And I just encourage each of you, when you can attend, do attend. When I know it's hard if you're working and whatnot, but they're great. So don't miss it if you can.
Thank you, Diane. I had intended to, but I missed it. So one of these days I will do one. Beverly.
No comments at this time. Thank you.
Thank you. And Amy?
I have no comments at this time. Thanks.
I don't think I have any comments either. Thank you all. We move to the consent calendar. I'm just checking to see if anybody has, anything to say, comment. Our consent calendar is solely the minutes of the October 6th, 2021 regular meeting. So is there a motion? Well, first, are there any corrections or comments on that of the minutes of October 6th?
There's a couple typos that I've fixed. Let's look at this. Under action calendar, the item C from the consent calendar that was moved to action calendar, the resolution number had a typo, so I fixed that. So it's resolution 21-116. And on third page, the summer reading update had the wrong information from title. It should be senior librarian, but that's the only changes.
Thank you, Eve. Any other corrections or comments?
John, I'm thinking maybe you're not seeing raised hands. I had my hand raised.
I'm not, okay, I see it now. Thank you. I have a different.
I know, you have a different screen.
And the format's real different. Thank you, go ahead.
Okay, good. I didn't want to jump in and be disrespectful, but I thought maybe you weren't seeing it. I was wondering if we could move item D from the action calendar to consent. It's approve initiation of an RFP process to hire consulting to support strategic planning. And it says the draft RFP will also be brought to the board for review, discussion, and approval. So it's really just approving the first steps. And unless the library director had a particular reason and thought there was something important or controversial, I'm comfortable moving that to consent. And maybe I could ask that question of the library director.
Absolutely. The reason why I included it is because I didn't want to assume support for hiring a consultant, basically contracting for external support for the project. We did discuss and set aside funding for this during last year's budget process, but I just wanted to reconfirm that direction was acceptable to the board.
Thank you. Yeah, so it's certainly acceptable to me, and I would imagine to others. So I'm asking if we could put that on consent. And John, I'll let you ask if anyone has any objections.
Right. So board members, are there any objections to that? Because I that's fine with me.
I'm fine with that.
I'm fine.
Good.
Me too. Do you need a second?
No, I think the reordering of the agenda is at the chair's discretion, usually just with the consent, I think. Isn't that right, John?
Yes. Generally, that's true. So we can move D, action item D, to consent. We now have the minutes of October 6th and the initiation of an RFP process for a consultant on consent. So, barring any objections to that, I'm going to ask Eve for a roll call vote.
We do need consent. A motion and second for consent.
So
you are absolutely right. Thank you.
I move approval of the amended consent calendar.
I'll second that.
Thank you. Now, Eve, roll call.
Okay. Trustee Solowski.
Yes.
Trustee Roth.
Yes.
Trustee Davenport.
Yes.
Trustee Green.
Yes.
And Trustee Hahn.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you all. Give me a second while I take some notes on that. Okay. We now move to our action items. So the first one is discussion and nominations for the selection of board president and vice president. My term is up. Not only is my term up for this year, but I'm termed out. I've been 2 years as board president, and that's consecutively all you can serve, according to the commissioner's handbook, among other things. I think in maybe our bylaws, but I'm not even clear about that yet because we haven't updated the bylaws, so I'm not sure. But suffice it to say, I can't serve another year as president. I'm going to give it to Tess or Eve to run this process because I don't want it to be perceived as I'm, you know, influencing or interfering in this. So can one of you step in here?
It might be helpful just to provide the additional context. Again, that each year the Board of Library Trustees elects officers for 1 year term. And this generally takes place in October or November of each year. And this is an open nominations process, which is then followed by the election of officers for the Board of Library Trustees, both the president and vice president positions. And the process is the nominations are taken from the floor so that this allows all of the trustees the opportunity to nominate others as well as themselves. And because this is a public process, the vote takes place during the actual meeting. And so we can begin with the position of the president and call for nominations for position of president.
Hey, I have my hand raised. Is that?
Yes, go ahead, Sophie.
All right. Well, first of all, I would just like to say, John, that we have been so lucky to have you at the helm. These have been very demanding years. A lot of very important things have taken place, and in particular, the search and finding of our new library director, which I believe it has been the single most important job undertaken by our Board of Library Trustees in many years. And I think that the proof is in the pudding. You led us through an exceptional process, and we were able to bring in a truly exceptional leader. And this is a very important and legacy for the library to come out of some tumultuous years in such good shape. And so I just want to start by expressing my gratitude to you for what you've brought as chair to this board, acknowledging that you have also been chair of the rent board, of the school board. And I think that, and I'm probably missing some other boards and commissions that you have been chair or president of. And I think that your experience and deft hand have really served this Board of Library Trustees exceptionally well. So I'm starting with that. We cannot have you continue, and that is how it is, and we are grateful to you. I would like to nominate Amy Roth, who I have not spoken to, so I do not know if she is willing to serve in this role, but I would like to nominate her, if she's amenable, to be our next board president. And I want to say that I'm also very grateful for just how much work Amy does for the Board of Library Trustees, already really taking on important management tasks related to how we work with our executive director and putting into place the kinds of policies and processes that ensure that the board executive director relationship is what it should be, and that we have the right oversight and the right formal structures in place. And I value that very highly. So Amy, I'll ask you, are you willing to serve? And if so, I'd nominate you.
Thank you, Sophie. I'd be honored to serve. The library has always been very important in my life, and I'd like to do as much as I can.
Well, thank you. So that is a nomination. I don't believe nominations have to be seconded.
No, they don't.
It's a weird thing. Huh. So you have been nominated.
I do see Diane's hand, so I'm going to acknowledge. Thank you, Sophie. Thank you for your kind words, really. You know, it's been a pleasure. It's been challenging at times, but it's really been, this is one of the things that I hold dear, and it's been a pleasure to serve. Thank you. Diane?
As long as Amy said yes, I have nothing further to say.
Okay. Okay. Any other nominations? Any questions or concerns? So I guess, Tess, I took over this. should we pass it on to Eve for a roll call?
Yes.
Well, I think you do need a motion and a second to actually adopt a resolution to do it.
Then I'll second it.
There's a second from Diane.
Yeah, so now my motion is to elect Amy Roth as the next president of the Board of Library Trustees.
I second that.
Thank you, Diane.
Roll call, Trustee Solosky.
Yes.
Trustee Roth.
Yes.
Trustee Davenport.
Yes.
Trustee Green.
Yes.
And Trustee Hahn.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. So Tess.
And now we can open up nominations for the position of vice president. Again, this is inclusive of everyone. The nominations are taken from the floor, which allows everyone the opportunity to nominate others as well as themselves.
I see Diane's hand still up.
I raised it again. I'd like to nominate Sophie Hahn to be the vice president. I have served before as president and loved it. And I know that given the opportunity, Sophie can step up and be a great vice president on our board. And I look forward to her doing that, I hope. If you're willing, Sophie, let us know.
I would be very honored, and it would be a pleasure to serve with Amy.
All right. We have a nomination for vice president. When the time comes, we'll need a second for that. But Sophie, I'm just going to, can I ask you a question?
Of course.
You're busy on council. You're very busy mm-hmm. on council. Obviously, we have, as an officer on the board, on the library board, there are a couple of things that kind of are mandatory. And one of them is the agenda, you know, setting the agenda 2 weeks before a meeting, roughly about 2 weeks before the meeting. The second thing is the quarterly meeting with our friends and foundation. And I'm not saying you're not going to be able to do that. I just want to, I want you to tell us that you're aware of those and that you're capable of fulfilling that.
There's no problem at all fulfilling that. I mean, that's basically, I spend my time, making it to the meetings and the obligations that are related to my job. And I would say that on most of the boards, including the council that I serve on, I probably have the most perfect attendance record of anyone. These are priorities for me. I assume that meeting has a fixed time, but that time could potentially flex. But there's no problem at all. And by the way, I used to attend some of those meetings in the past. So that we had a rotation of people who attended the meetings with the friends and foundation. So I'm familiar with, I've been to many of those meetings. So I know what I'm getting into.
Thank you, Sophie. Thank you. Okay. Other board members and Diane, your hand's still up.
Oh, I assume it's. I just didn't put it down.
Exactly. That's what I assumed. Anybody else wish to comment or other nominations? And if not, then I will second what I assume was Diane's motion for a resolution to approve Sophie Hahn as our vice president for the next year. All right. I think it's time for a roll call.
Trustee Solosky?
Yes.
Trustee Roth?
Sorry, I had muted. Yes.
Trustee Davenport?
Yes.
Trustee Green?
Yes.
Trustee Hahn?
Yes.
Thank you.
So, congratulations, Amy.
Thank you, John.
And Sophie. And I reading the agenda, it seemed to me that my term is up tomorrow. So yes. I continue with this meeting. Is that correct?
Yes.
Thank you. Okay. I just wanted to make sure. Amy, if you want to do this meeting, I'm okay with that. No, it's okay. It's okay. I will continue. So we covered our first action item. And now the second action item is the budget amendment. So we have Nika, and anything from Nika or Tess on this? Who's going to take this?
We don't have an extensive report for you at this time, but we do have a draft resolution that we're asking the board to adopt that just amends the fiscal year 2022 approved expenditures budget to account for the carryover amount that we have of approximately $114,000.
Right. Thank you, Tess. The delta is $114,525, exactly. So are there any questions or comments from board members here or from attendees? Anybody want to comment on this? I didn't see anything from attendees. Going to check again. No, I don't see anything. I don't see any hands from board members. So we need a motion and a second. Sophie.
Yes, I'm sorry. I didn't raise my hand quickly enough. This is item A or B? I'm sorry.
B.
We are on item B. That's what I thought. Okay. Suddenly got confused for a second. The only question I had was, I noticed that in the director's report at the very end of the packet, she talks about storm impacts and a roof that's leaking, standing water and damage, leaks in the newly remodeled teen room, et cetera, et cetera. And I just wanted to make sure that our budget includes the money we need for what sounds like could end up being fairly expensive repairs. I don't know the extent to which this has been investigated. I don't know if we need a whole new roof or a roof patch or whole new windows or just a little caulking. But I want to make sure, given that it looks like it may be a rainy year and that we don't want to have water is very, very damaging, especially to a library. I just want to make sure that the money for that was anticipated in this budget.
Thank you for asking that question. I very much appreciate it. And this is something that I'll address now instead of discussing it later when we get to the director's report. We are very fortunate in that the roof at Claremont was actually covered under warranty. And this is something that our building maintenance supervisor, Brian Gavin, began to account for immediately after the storm. He coordinated a visit immediately to have assessment and repair work done. And it turns out that apparently there had been work done to the roof several years ago. And these repairs were covered under warranty, even though they were significant. There were significant issues in terms of three different locations of holes basically created through the storm. So that turned out not to actually represent a significant cost impact. And I would add that the water intrusion that we're aware of that's occurring with the teen room, that was a known issue that Dennis had incorporated and anticipated into the fiscal year 2022 budget. So as the trustees who were with us last year might remember, we did intend and plan for several high cost projects to be addressed this year, including the initiation of the stucco project, as well as replacement of air conditioners. And we knew that we'd have to address the water intrusion in the teen room as well. So fortunately, those should be accounted for. And I think there's more to say about building projects, but I'll wait and reserve that for the director's report. but please let me know if that does not completely address the question, and I might be able to add more information.
Sophie, is that adequate for you?
That works. Yeah, I just wanted to make sure we're covered.
Thank you. Thank you. And thank you, Tess.
Yeah.
And thank you for the warranty. All right.
John, so
we still need a motion and a second there. Diane.
I'll make that motion that we adopt the resolution amending the fiscal year 2022 approved expenditures budget based on the adjustments totaling $1,114 and $525 a total there.
Thank you, Diane. Second from anyone?
I'll second.
Thank you. All right. Unless there's any other comment or questions, we move to Eve. Roll call.
Trustee Solowski?
Yes.
Trustee Roth?
Yes.
Trustee Davenport?
Yes.
Trustee Green?
Yes.
And Trustee Hahn?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you all. So we have review and possible action on budget priorities for fiscal year 2023, fiscal year 2024, biennial budget cycle. Tess?
Thank you.
Any comments?
Yes, I do have a few comments. I just thought it would be helpful to, again, review the context here. So we are jumping into our next budget planning process. We're really fortunate to have Nika having joined the team coming from a different city department because she does have a high level of familiarity with the process and has been really successful in terms of navigating our previous finance manager's data and being able to really work with that seamlessly. And as you all might recall, part of our budget planning process is making sure that we establish our budget priorities in the beginning of the process. And the intention is for the budget priorities to really help shape and serve as a framework to guide the use of our resources and to guide our budgeting process. And of course, the City of Berkeley usually operates on a biennial budget cycle. And originally, that's what we thought was happening last year. But for fiscal year 2022, given the emergency circumstances, the plan changed and the city and therefore the library adopted only a one-year budget. And it was assumed that we would resume the biennial cycle after that. So of course, now we actually are resuming a budget planning process again for the second year in a row, just because of this change that occurred due to COVID. And as I've stated, the budget priorities, you know, really do relate closely to the work and the work plan that the library has laid out ahead of it, as well as, you know, the city's strategic priorities and the way that the library also supports the city's strategic priorities. And when you review the budget priorities as described in your packet, I won't repeat all of them verbatim, but when you review them, you see that really they're all still highly relevant. And what has happened for the library is that we had planned a calendar of work, basically a work plan that assumed a biennial budget cycle. But of course, we only had 1 year so far to complete a work plan that was really designed to be for 2 years. And what that means is that a lot of the work that we had intended to do that was really related to the budget priorities that we had adopted last year, it still remains for us to do, and it's work that we need to engage in. And I've enumerated in the report more specifically the work that we have ahead and the way that it relates to the existing budget priorities. And For this reason, I recommend that you adopt the resolution that we maintain the same budget priorities for the next biennial cycle. I think that once we're able to complete the next biennial cycle, we'll be, I think, in a very different place, both in terms of, you know, where the city is in terms of its recovery process from the COVID pandemic. We will know more about our community's needs and interests, having hopefully begun a community engagement process around the strategic plan. And I think at that time, it would make more sense to revisit the budget priorities.
Thank you, Tess. I'm going to call any other board members with questions or comments here. Sophie.
Sophie, you're muted.
Great. I can't believe I'm 2 years into this. She'll make that mistake. So I just had one little thing. I noticed that our six priorities don't have the word collections in them at all, anywhere. And I wondered if on number one, which was provide state-of-the-art, well-maintained infrastructure, amenities, and facilities, if we could say infrastructure, amenities, facilities, and collections. If you look further on the recitation of the mission and vision and value statement that we put together, and by the way, in rereading it, I was like, gosh, it could use a little smoothing on the language. I'm not sure we ever really fully refined that. Considering that we're a library, we probably should do a little wordsmithing and a little, you know, having the verbs in the same tense and things like that another time. But in that, there actually is a strong section about strengthening collections and programs. And somehow that just doesn't show up in the more truncated list of priorities. So I could add programs too, maybe ask Ms. Meyer if she has a preference there, but I was hoping that we could add collections at a minimum to that list.
Tess, any comment?
Thank you. I was looking quickly to see if I could identify where programs is addressed, because it's interesting in that it easily accessible services and information. I think sometimes I think of programs as a subset of services, but it's not necessarily interpreted that way. So I think that I would endorse the suggestion of adding collections more explicitly and also potentially programs. And it could be, I think I would probably add collections to the first budget priority and programs maybe to the third budget priority, to the language there. I do think that because our communication around collections is incredibly important. And of course, it was something that was recommended in terms of the MOS organizational assessment and the auditor's report, that the library needs to develop a coherent and improved communication plan around collections. And so I think I always, in my mind, imagine that as being also a part of number five, but that's very opaque and doesn't really specifically call it out. So for that reason, I do support Trustee Hahn's suggestion with respect to the inclusion of the word collections and programs, and I would suggest including them in the first and third budget priorities, respectively. I'm noticing too that Trustee Green's hand is raised as well.
All right, thank you. So I'll just say that my proposal is to amend the first one by saying provide state-of-the-art, well-maintained infrastructure, comma, amenities, comma, strike and then have facilities, add a comma, and then add and collections. And then on bullet point three, it would be provide excellent, comma, timely, comma, easily accessible services, comma, programs, comma, and information to the community. Those are my proposed changes. Thank you.
Thank you, Sophie. Beverly?
So I'd just like to add something explicitly, the word library in front of collections. This is just a semantic thing, but as we look at expanding the audience for the Berkeley Public Libraries, I just want it to be clear that people are talking about library collections.
Happy to add that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. All right. excuse me. Any other board members with comments on that or anything else? Excuse me. So that was, excuse me, that was an amendment and a motion, Sophie?
I think we may need to do public comment.
Ah, do we have any comment? Any? Excuse me. I don't see any hands up. Am I missing something?
Oh, I just, usually you call for public comment, so I was going to make my motion after that.
All right. I will call, I ask for any public comment at this time. I haven't noticed any hands up at all. No. Okay.
All right, then I'll be happy to make a motion. I move to adopt the resolution with budget priorities for the library for fiscal year 2023. It says, and the fiscal year 2024 biennial, yeah, fiscal year 2023 and 24 biennial budget cycle as amended, both by myself and Trustee Green.
Very good, thank you. Eve, you got that?
Yes.
Good. So we now need a second.
I'll second that.
Thank you, Diane. And any other discussion or comment? And I don't see any hands. But I'll wait a second. Okay, Eve, we can take roll call.
Trustee Solowski?
Yes.
Trustee Roth?
Yes.
Trustee Davenport?
Yes.
Trustee Green?
Yes.
And Trustee Hahn?
Yes.
Thank you all. Thank you, Sophie and Beverly, for the additions, the amendments. All right. We are done with our action calendar, information reports. A, gratitude to Jim Jacobs, Berkeley Public Library's first African American librarian.
I will go ahead and take this one because I see that we didn't attribute this to a staff member. Apologies. Really, I wanted to just take a moment to thank and acknowledge Trustee Hahn and her staff who worked in collaboration with library staff, which included the Berkeley Public Library Racial Justice Advisory Group. Basically, this past week, they coordinated to have Mayor Arreguin issue a special proclamation honoring Jim Jacobs, who is a retired children's librarian. And this took place this past Tuesday, I believe it was October 26th, or sorry, the week prior, October 26th. And I really appreciated everybody's efforts to make sure that this very significant episode of Berkeley Public Library's history was known, and that we were able to raise awareness about Mr. Jacobs. He was the library's first African-American librarian. And he also explained that he was the first African-American person to participate in his Master's of Library Science program at Cal. And the way that he's touched so many different people, you know, through his dedication and service, and the way that he's inspired people to become involved in the library, I think is quite unique and impactful. Many library staff, current library staff, consider him to be a really significant mentor, somebody that encouraged them to get involved in librarianship. And he played a really important role in terms of initiating a system-wide approach to having a summer reading program, which now, of course, we take for granted that there's a summer reading program. And, you know, he noticed things. He noticed the way that institutional racism was impacting the organization. And I think one example of this is how he discovered, you know, during his tenure at the library, that all of the books that were written by African-American writers had all been shelved under the same subject heading, or in the same Dewey Decimal category, which was 326, which connotes slavery and emancipation. So this was, you know, entirely inappropriate and racist. And he basically worked to desegregate the library's collection and make sure that everything was incorporated the way that it should be. But apart from that, he was just an inspiration to so many people. He was a musician. He sang and played guitar, as you can see from the photograph in your board packet. And I just am so grateful again to Trustee Hahn and her staff, and also our staff, for sharing this story. And I wanted to add that this is just one project that our Racial Justice Advisory Group has taken on that relates to equity work or EDI work within the library. And so what they've been doing is trying to discuss and research historic moments in the city of Berkeley and the Berkeley Public Library as part of contextualizing, understanding the library's racialized history, and helping position us to, you know, through understanding the past, be able to address institutional racism and move forward as an organization and, of course, as a city. And so this is, I think, a really inspiring chapter that they felt was important to bring forward. And I just wanted to make sure that everyone was aware of this proclamation, its significance, and, you know, most importantly, the contributions of this one person. When you think about everything that he accomplished in his career, and he's 91 years old, and he was willing to be interviewed, and he was interviewed by one of our own staff members, Sam Clemens, who has been with the library for many years. And I think his willingness to continue to participate in the conversation is really powerful as well. So I just wanted to take a moment to share that with all of you.
I think it's really important that it happened while Jim was still alive too, because he was such a strong mentor in our system for so many years. And we haven't acknowledged these things nearly as much as we should. And the fact that Jim is hale and hearty and still working so much to keep people in the profession and whatnot, it's just delightful that he knows that we know that he mattered. And it's a great tribute to him.
Thank you, Diane. And Sophie, I want to thank you for helping and moving this along. Thank you.
I was delighted, and I learned a lot. And I just have to say, it really reminded me that I think in America in particular, we have this kind of idea that you know, single leaders make change or something, you know, famous people, people who have big Twitter accounts or, you know, but, and I feel like people don't realize that real and lasting change is actually made up of small, medium, and large acts of ordinary people who do the right thing and advance our values in whatever endeavor they're doing. And I really feel that here we have a trailblazer who has had no recognition at all and who clearly made a huge difference. I mean, who would think that this, you know, how books are categorized in the Dewey system? You know, I think if you brought a group of people together and said, you know, we're trying to make equity and we're trying to make it happen, would they ever have come up with that? No, they wouldn't. But he in his realm and in what his passion was and in the area where he chose to work and make his mark in this world, he found that. And it's huge. It's about how the entire country, because that system was not unique to Berkeley. It's about how the entire country categorizes the experience and the literary contributions of African Americans. Like, it's so huge. It's so important. And we just don't do enough to recognize all those, you know, I don't want to say small because to me it's huge, but in a way, like unexpected ways that change is really made and change is baked in to a society through every single institution. And so I really think the library and this incredible group of staff who are working on this project, and I'm guessing that there are other amazing, impactful heroes in our libraries now, or perhaps deceased, who have made a difference like this, and we have to honor them. So I really thank the library for bringing this forward. I was, you know, just a vessel to bring it to the city council, but really for me, it was a great learning opportunity and a reminder that everything that each of us does every day and whatever our endeavor is really what makes a difference. So thank you.
Thank you, Sophie. All right, thank you, Tess. Thank you, Diane. Unless there's other comments, and I don't think I see any, we can move on to the Library Joint Labor Management Committee update. Tess?
Thank you very much. So speaking of people who who make a difference every day, I'd like to introduce Vlad Koplun. I don't actually know how to pronounce your last name correctly. Koplun.
That was pretty good.
And Kelsey Okert. And they're joining us as representatives of SEIU Local 1021 to sort of co-present. And I think both of you or one of you has the presentation if you want to go ahead and launch it.
Sure.
And so just as they're opening it up, the background here is that, you know, we've mentioned or referenced having conversations with our Joint Labor Management Committee over the past, you know, year or several years. And at one point, Trustee Davenport just shared that it would be really helpful to have more background and context around how this works. And I really appreciate the fact that Vlad and Kelsey were able to be here tonight. And this is a kind of a difficult hour for people, you know, for working people, people with families. And I just appreciate the fact that they were willing to be here. And the group is much larger, as you will see, but they're here as representatives.
All right. Hello all, and nice to meet you, Trustee Green. I think I've at least virtually, no, I think I've physically met everyone else, but nice to virtually meet you. Let me share a screen here. Do you see a PowerPoint yet? Okay, here we go.
Now we do.
Okay, and is it now filling the screen? Hopefully, let's see. Maybe. Come on.
And it's so nice to meet everyone as well. I think I'm meeting most of you virtually for the first time and just so happy to speak tonight.
And yes, I'm an information systems specialist. I work in our IT department, and Kelsey is a reference librarian who works for our adult services department.
At the central branch.
At the central branch, that's right.
Yes.
All right, so there's actually three units across two different unions at the library. And the very large majority of the employees are in the SEIU Community Services unit. And we have a handful that are in the maintenance and clerical unit. That's about right now five employees across three different divisions. And so the people in that MCU unit are not formally represented by this JLMC. So like if they were to bring something to us, we thought that it affected all the staff, we could bring it forward, but we're not like regularly polling them as they're not like, there's not part of the formal JLMC here. And then the local one, which is management largely, so they are on JLMC, but they're the DM in that committee. So here's our current group. We just had our HR analyst leave, as you guys know. So we have one kind of seat that's recently vacated, but we have people representing different divisions, and well, they're really slots, and I'll go into that in a little bit. But this is the group. I can go through them. Amy, we probably have all met, communication specialist. Jay is our circulation manager. Jonathan Esmenhaud, he is our supervising library assistant in collection services and processing. And he represents collection services as well as the central support unit and IT. Juan Castile represents Claremont and Torrey Hall Pittman South. Kelsey for adult services. We have our chapter president, Kin. Patricia for West and North branches. Rudy, who is a supervising library assistant. Oh, I should have been doing the classifications before, but okay. Rudy is a supervising library assistant in circulation services, and he represents circulation services. And then Tess, also here with us, and me representing Central Children's. So the JLM purpose, we pulled this from the meeting minutes, is very broadly. There's a shared understanding that the purpose of the JLMC is to get ahead of potential issues and try to resolve them. Also to share upcoming changes and provide another avenue for discussion and gathering feedback. So that's really like, exactly what it is. It's labor and management working together to prevent and fix problems and to help with communication system-wide. And again, this is for issues that affect staff broadly. So it is not a venue for any kind of individual issues a particular employee might be having or a grievance. And it is very different from the bargaining process. And then the other part here is the goal for JLMC is that it be a venue for creative and productive problem solving and a place where we work together. We will work to prioritize items so that meetings can be spent in constructive discussions. While conflicting opinions about issues are expected, we expect that there will not be personal conflict. We may invite guests to attend meetings if they have particular knowledge, but we will let everyone know in advance if that is going to happen. And so far, that's been how it is. Oops, I hit the wrong keyboard. Okay, so the meeting structure, and I'll be, Tess, feel free to chime in if you want to like discuss anything on the management side of it, because I can only tell you what we, you know, our side of it. So the agenda building, we'll typically like poll our whoever we represent and see if they have any issues that they want brought forward. And if they say something, then we'll bring it to the group and see if it's something that is appropriate to actually bring forward to JLMC. And then a few days in advance, the labor and for a week or to a few days in advance, we kind of get everything together and each the labor and management email each other the potential agenda items. We meet monthly or as needed. So during a lot of the pandemic stuff, we were meeting like every 2 weeks. And then in prior times, we've skipped meetings as well because there hasn't been anything that needed to be discussed. We have a rotating moderator and note taker that are from both labor and management. And then we have an approval process for the minutes where we need someone from management to approve and then several people from labor to approve as well. The election process or nomination process, it's a 2-year term. Because of the pandemic, we started late. So we're doing April 2021 through December 2022. And then in January, it'll be January to January in the next, or should be, if everything goes smoothly in the next iteration. There's 10 slots on the labor side, and I will show you more about that on the next slide. And so people nominate for each slot, they'll nominate a person, and sometimes there's only one person nominated, in which case they just are the rep. And if there's more than one, then it's there's people vote, the people in that division, or those the divisions represented by that slot vote for whoever they want. And then if no one runs for a slot, once the new membership is chosen, they can appoint a person.
Lab, would it be okay as your communications person, back on the slide that you just had before, the approval of the minutes, one thing that I think is important is that then those minutes are posted on our, anyway, you know what I'm going to say. I just wanted to jump in.
Yes, but you should finish because not everyone knows what you're going to say.
I thought you were going to take it.
I can take it. So we have an intranet where we post meeting minutes that anyone can then view. So once it's approved, anyone at the library that's interested can take a look at that. And some people are pretty, tracking the latest minutes pretty regularly. So let's see. Okay. So then the slots. So some slots represent multiple divisions. Some that represent just one division. There's two that are SEIU specific. So Ken is our union officer. And we've actually never had the in this iteration, at least, or in the last, I think the business agent attend. So then slots 3 through 8 is basically all the people that were on that earlier slide. And then the last one is for special guests or knowledge experts, which I think we have had some on management from management this iteration, but not, I think, from labor. All right, and now Kelsey will talk a little bit about what we've been doing and talking about at JLMC.
All right, thank you so much, Vlad. So during this past year of JLMC, we have been part of the pandemic response and reopening. And we have been, as Vlad mentioned, we meet monthly. And there have been times where, especially when we were looking at dates to reopen and just reopening or building in person, we were meeting like almost every week or every other week. And so those discussions involved ongoing discussions relating to safety, discussions of setting up 6 feet, discussions of creating a mask policy that everyone felt comfortable with. A big part of our meetings was receiving and sharing feedback from staff. And so essentially Tess and other members of the administration and members of the reopening committee would bring forth ideas that they had, and they would ask our representatives from each department how our coworkers felt about it. And it would just be an opportunity to test out ideas on how to do things and just get a feel for just how comfortable we were with everything. also updates regarding COVID positive infections. There were points where the library, where like a certain library had to close because employees were quarantining. That was a discussion that JLMC was brought into. And then also just discussing service models for reopening. When we initially reopened, we had certain roles that people had to play, had to do, and also discussing like how many people can be on desk right now, how many people can we have serving those roles. And these were just all important discussions. And so as we, and then next slide. So as we're having these discussions, the goals that we kept in mind were improving safety. And so we really kept efforts to decompress the work site, especially at the beginning. People's desks were and workspaces were moved to different parts of the building so that they could be 6 feet away from each other. Meetings were done virtually. And then also making sure that we could keep up with scheduling and service hour changes and make service hours match. Initially we started outdoor pickup at North Branch, and then other people, members of the public, were looking for outdoor pickup at other branches. And so we worked hard to meet that demand, maintain quality service to the community, minimize disruption of scheduling changes for workers, really be mindful of the shifts that the workers are working, striving for individualized attention for each worker's circumstance, understand that COVID is affecting us all, and that there's just support given at level where there's COVID leave, but also we have our managers and supervisors supporting the workers.
Yeah, just before we advance, I wanna make a comment just about this slide in particular, because I think it's an example of a meet and confer process, or the outcome of a meet and confer process that we had. So a lot of times with our committee, with Joint Labor Management, the conversations that we have are somewhat more informal, but sometimes if there is a need to actually discuss the impacts of a change that would affect, you know, working conditions, pay, things like that, it is necessary to have a more formal meet and confer meeting. Now, the current vaccine policy that's affecting all City of Berkeley workers, that is being handled centrally, sort of through SEIU leadership, actually amongst all the bargaining units leadership, with the City of Berkeley Human Resources Department. And because that's a policy that affects all of the city workers, that is a meet and confer process that's being handled in that venue. But what happened in December, and I think maybe that was before our more recent elections happened, so it was before Kelsey joined the team, the staff were very concerned about safety, given the fact that there was a surge in COVID infections that was really beginning to ramp up. And so they came to us and they had feedback basically around, you know, looking to see whether there was more we could do to make the working conditions safer for people. And, you know, the value, I think, was trying to make the environment as safe as possible under the current circumstances. And so we had a conversation and decided that one way that we might be able to make it better would be to further decompress the workforce, or basically have fewer people working together at the same time, but still providing the same level of service. And that resulted ultimately in the scheduling change that meant that we did temporarily have to reduce our evening hours so that we could spread people out for more time across a shift. And so the principles that Kelsey was just reviewing or enumerating, these were principles that the Joint Labor Management team developed to guide the scheduling process that we would conduct in order to create new schedules for everybody who is within the 1021 unit. And I just wanted to share this because I think it was an interesting approach that we took, and it might have even been Vlad, I'm not sure, who actually made the recommendation that we come up with guiding principles to approach the scheduling process so that when we gave all of the supervisors instructions for basically redoing their schedules, they would all be looking at the same criteria basically. And this was what we came up with. And so I just thought it would be interesting for us to share this. We did end up also having a separate meet and confer with the maintenance and clerical unit about this issue. And then we've also had some about other issues that didn't relate to the staff that are in 1021. But I just wanted to highlight that there is a difference between a formal meet and confer process versus some of the conversations that we have that are more informal. Sorry, Kelsey.
Oh, no, that really helps, actually.
Yeah, I just wanted to explain and provide more context on the slide. Yeah. Okay, we can advance, though.
Yeah, all right.
Okay, so, and I think this might be our final slide, actually. So other examples of topics that we've discussed in the past year, just recruitment and staffing updates. We are so excited about new staff coming to the library. We're really grateful for Bolt approving all these new positions, especially the social worker. I'm really excited about all this. We've discussed safety and security at Central, and so being in contact with our guards, the radios, and this also applies to the other branches as well. One of our members asked if there could be a mental health training seminar, and management arranged for that, and that happened a little under a month ago over Zoom. JLMC meetings are also an opportunity to discuss messaging and communication between staff and employees and staff and admin. And one example of that is one of our JLMC representatives, one of our employee representatives asked, our labor representatives asked Tess to send out an email asking people not to eat their lunch at their desk because that violated our mask policy. So it's an opportunity to allow us to talk to people within our department and have these conversations with our coworkers. And Tess was happy to oblige with that email as well. And then the last thing is just celebrating library accomplishments. And so that's something that happens where, you know, we make a point to note like summer reading has begun, or congratulations to our coworkers who have worked on the biography project. And it's really an opportunity for us to express gratitude to each other, to other people in our department, people we represent, from admin to labor. And we're just happy to have this environment where we can have communication and connect. All right, I think that's the end of the presentation. But anyone is welcome to add anything else.
I think that, you know, getting back to one of the original slides about trying to anticipate issues, you know, I think that this is a really good environment for us to try to identify longer term projects. And one of the things, as Kelsey mentioned, that we've been talking a lot about is safety and security, and sort of how to make sure that we have a culture, like a workplace culture that's safe, where people feel like we're a team, like that they will have support when issues arise. And I think that that's a actually very complicated set of issues. And so some of these things we don't see as a single point solution, you know, like, oh, if we just introduce this one intervention, you know, everything will be different. I think I'm seeing some of these things as longer term culture change that we're trying to work on together. And I think that what's been really interesting about working with, you know, this group of people is that even though we frequently don't agree on the particular intervention that needs to happen, which is good. We have really good conversations just in terms of why we may or may not support a particular thing. We try to keep going back to, well, what was the point? What's the problem that we're trying to address? And I feel like there's a very strong willingness to keep doing that, even when we run into potential issues. So I just wanted to acknowledge that I think the people that are approaching this work are really doing so with a lot of patience and open-mindedness. And it's really helped us, I think, put some things in place and just, you know, improve certain types of things on behalf of the system. But we can open it up to questions. I know that you may have some.
Beverly, please.
Hi, can you go back to the slide of the composition of the group? Yes, this one. So this is interesting to me. So one person represents Claremont and Pittman South, and then those two, and then another person represents West and North. I'm curious as to why you don't have someone that represents each branch. Not that I'm, you know, trying to suggest that you increase the number of people on the committees, but why is that?
It's funny you ask this because I actually said the exact same thing to Vlad as we were building the PowerPoint. And it would be something I think that we would be very open to is having individual representation. Yes.
Yeah. So when I came in, those were the slots, you know, so I don't know what was the initial determination of placing the divisions like that. But yeah, I agree with Kelsey.
Okay, great. Just from an equity standpoint, it might be good to have a person represent each branch. And then can you go back one more slide, I think, to the three groups? Okay, and you said...
So the one we're a part of, community services.
Okay, and then what is PTRLA?
Part-time Recreation Leaders Association, I believe. So it's the rec workers, yeah.
Okay.
And there's none in the library.
Okay.
Of that, from that PTRLA.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the 1021, this contract represents workers across many different city departments.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not sure that we said that.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Beverly. So Vlad and Kelsey, I want to thank you both. Tess, I want to thank you. Diane, did you have a hand?
No, but I will make a comment. I think this was just a great report, and I was really wondering where the committee was and had come to, because I worked at the library when the committee started, and it started as the library director, the deputy director, and one manager meeting with two or three union people bi-monthly, just to start communicating before issues came to a climax. And it sounds to me like you're trying to build the exact safe communication space where people can both agree and disagree respectfully so that solutions can be found that work for the most of the people. And it's just fascinating to see how far you have come, how different it is, but how still the purpose is very much the same of working well together as best we can to solve complicated problems. So congratulations and thanks for the work you do.
Thank you, Diane. I was going to say something very, thank you. Kelsey, Vlad, Tess, thank you all. I was going to say, I know the labor management group has a history of fits and starts, and under previous directors actually didn't meet for a while. And I won't name names, but it was a little disconcerting at times. But I do want to thank the participants, and I particularly want to, again, I want to thank Tess for making this, at least on the surface, it appears to be a genuine collaboration and some real communication going on. And Tess, I'm going to say it again. That's your strength. And thank you. And I really do appreciate that it's up and running and meeting frequently and that real issues are being discussed. And I think that's really, really important for the library, for our staff. And it's, you know, ultimately for our patrons as well, for everyone. So thank you all. Amy, did you have a comment? I don't have my screen up for hands, so I can't tell.
Well, now that you called on me, I'll just say that was a really informative and encouraging report. It's good to know that that's going on, and it's great to know that that's going on.
Thank you.
Sure.
If anybody wants to speak, jump in, because I don't see, I don't, my format right now is I don't have, I don't see the hands.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you all. So, unless somebody wants to jump in, we can move to our to Tess in the monthly library director's report.
Thank you. I do want to acknowledge too that there were some veteran staff on that joint labor management team when I started meeting with them last year. And Vlad, I think, has been a pretty consistent presence. And, you know, they've really established a lot of those norms and that predated my work with the committee. And I wanted to acknowledge their work in, I think, helping to create that culture and make it possible. And I just really wanted to acknowledge them and also acknowledge that Kelsey just works very hard to acknowledge and celebrate when things go well. And it's a good reminder to me because I think that's sort of what keeps everyone going. And I just think she's very good at that. And so in the spirit of acknowledgement, as I move on to the director's report, one thing I wanted to mention is just a really excellent program that Kelsey, who is just with us, has coordinated. Sorry, continuing here. And this is a really great partnership that she pursued with UC Berkeley's Art Museum Pacific Film Archive. And I'm not gonna say the acronym because I know I'll say it wrong or in the wrong style, but as some of you might know, the adult services team at the library has coordinated a lot of really excellent programs that are art talks or that relate to exhibitions that have taken place at local museums over the past year and a half. And this time Kelsey was able to partner with the Art Museum Pacific Film Archive for a curator lecture that's focusing on the current exhibition that they have, which is called New Time Art and Feminisms in the 21st Century. And I'm excited to see this exhibition, but one of the things that I think is extra special about what the staff were trying to arrange, they're trying to purchase discounted tickets that the library would make available to the public for free. So really thereby providing for access to museums that people may not have had access to. And I just wanted to call out that this kind of partnership, which a lot of libraries refer to as museum pass partnerships, they're very popular. And I think that they're really important ways to make sure that the access to museums is available to everybody in the community. And it's something that libraries can do, particularly with the support of friends and foundations that allow us to use funding in different types of ways, less restricted ways. So I wanted to just call that out as I think an important direction for us to be taking in the future. I'm excited for that program. I'm also really excited to invite all of you to the celebration that we're having this coming Tuesday, November 9th. It's gonna be Teen Taco Tuesday. and our supervising librarian of Central Services, Heather Cummins, along with her team and a lot of teen services staff and other Central Library staff are gonna be hosting basically a taco truck in front of the Central Library. And it's really an effort to just invite and welcome teens from Berkeley High School to their new teen room and to the Central Library. And so there's going to be a truck giving out free tacos. It's gonna start at 3:30. It's gonna be parked on the street across from the Central Library on Herald Way. And I just think this is a really nice way to welcome everybody in. Although we've definitely seen teens from Berkeley High School being in the library, visiting the library, we're excited to have a more special event to welcome them and inaugurate the wonderful new teen room that we have. And I'm excited for that to happen. And I did want to just return back to what I was discussing in the beginning, the really important point that Sophie or Trustee Han had called out with respect to the director's report content about the impact of the most recent storm that moved through our community on October 24th. And of course, you know, the concern about damage. And in this particular case, I think that we were quite fortunate for the most part that there wasn't significant structural damage. We will need to replace a number of items because, as Trustee Han mentioned, when there are leaks in libraries, it means that there's potential damage to library collections. And in this case, there are items that we're going to need to replace. But staff really did a terrific job of, you know, making sure that they tracked all of that information so that we had it. And they really came together quickly to figure out how to provide service on Monday, given that we couldn't open the whole library to the community. It just would not have been safe. And so they pivoted and they were able to offer outdoor service. And, you know, it's interesting that because we've had this really challenging experience at times of having to change our service model, it's resulted in our being able to be nimble under other types of unexpected or emergency circumstances. So the staff just quickly changed and were able to provide outdoor service. And I don't know if it would have worked out that well had this happened 2 years ago. But I think that the other really important issue that this raised is just making sure that we have complete, you know, comprehensive awareness of all of the building needs both in our branches and the Central Library. And so we will be presenting to the board in the future at an upcoming meeting, not the December meeting, but likely the January meeting, a report on basically the status of the various building projects that we've identified, all of the needs that we have just in terms of these various issues we've talked about with respect to the central library and some that you may not have all heard about. We just want to make sure that, you have all of the information with respect to these projects, how much we estimate they're going to cost, when we believe they need to occur, which will better inform our budget planning in the future. And of course, we're not going to be able to, I believe, this year institute a capital improvement budget because, you know, really we're trying to initiate a biennial budget process. And I think given the fact that we're transitioning to a new payroll accounting system this year, the process is already fairly complicated. But we believe that this report to you will sort of foreground and act as the information that you'll need to have in the future when we are able to develop a more elaborate capital improvement project budget. So at least you'll have an overview of what needs to be done. And I just wanted to mention something that, you know, that this is the kind of thing that happens behind the scenes, but you may not always be aware that the staff in collection services invested recently in a really great new online resource, which is called Make Make. And it's basically a database of hundreds of electronic books in Spanish for kids, for youth, basically. Little kids up to about age 12. And this collection of books was curated by some of the staff in our children's area and the collections team. And I just wanted to acknowledge that, you know, this type of collection enhancement is really important. And we will be really promoting it and making sure that people in the community understand that it's available, that they know how to access it. And of course, we are also really trying to invest in acquiring more new Spanish language print material as well. But I just wanted to make sure that you are aware of this database, because I think that it's an example of a really good, useful online tool to have in our collection. And again, it's not always the kind of thing that people are readily aware of. And that concludes my report. I'd like to ask whether any of you have questions about this or anything that I may not have covered.
Board members, thank you, Tess.
Tess, what's the name of that database again? Make Make?
Make Make, but we'll send you the information. We'll follow up with an email so that you just are able to link into it. Trustee Green?
Yes, so I wanted to ask you about the teen taco truck, which I saw my grandnephew at Berkeley High. There was a bulletin that went out. So I just wanna get clear here. Now, and I'm serious here. So are you suggesting, because I haven't been to the teen room, that the teens are going to come into the teen room with the tacos and with the food, or is it to be separate, the food from the library, or?
I think that the idea is, I think that they'll be eating the tacos over on Harold Way, which okay. is kind of across the street, but we're going to try to lure them into the teen room.
Okay.
At the same time, and just make sure that they know and just try to make it a fun and inviting space for them.
Okay, great.
Tess, if it's okay to add promotional materials too about the library. So we're giving them bookmarks about how far they can, different things too. So they'll be getting actual things in their hands. Even if they just stick it in their backpack or in their back pocket, it'll still hopefully be a cue later when it falls out of their backpack.
Okay, that sounds good. I did see the announcement that Berkeley High has sent the announcement out to their students. So
that's exciting. That's great to hear.
Thank you, Tess. Thank you all. Anybody else?
All right. We're done with information reports. Future agenda. I think December is pretty much booked up. For those, just so everybody knows, we're doing a closed session, an evaluation process. I want to ask, I'm not calling out anybody. I don't want to be vindictive here. I'm not trying to be mean or anything, but Sophie, I have not received an evaluation from you. And Beverly, I didn't expect one from you, but Beverly, if you do want to make any comments at all, it doesn't have to be the formal evaluation, the form, please submit those to me that we can use them, so that we can use them at the evaluation in December. Okay.
I'm not sure I've gotten the evaluation form in blank format. It was sent to me with somebody else's, and I know I may have missed this because Eve and I have gone a little back and forth on this. Let me just double check.
Yeah, I know Eve. I know I got one. People did send them to me, so some board members got them.
I did receive a fillable form, but I was worried about whether or not I should submit it, given that I haven't been.
I mean, honestly, Beverly, nobody expected you. What were you here, 2 months or whatever? So So nobody expected you to really fill out a form. But if you do want to make any comments, that's up to you, of course.
I found it. I have it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Eve.
That would be great if I get that. Sorry for having missed that. Days. Thank you. Anything else for December? Because I think we're going to be pretty busy. All right. I don't see anybody. So if that's it, I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
So move.
Second. Amy,
and seconded. Okay. Eve, we need a roll call on that.
Trustee Solowski?
Yes.
Trustee Roth?
Yes.
Trustee Davenport?
Yes.
Trustee Green?
Yes.
And Trustee Hahn?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you all. And congratulations, Amy and Sophie, again.
Thank you, John.
The next meeting's in your hands. Have a good evening, everyone, and be well.
Thank you.
Be well, be happy. That's my new mantra. Be well, be happy.
Take care.
Good night.
Yep.
Bye-bye.
Good night.